Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. Beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. If you had a chance to tune in last week, we're talking about the mysteries of the kingdom. Church is giving us passages in the daily readings at Mass, focusing on the parables Jesus is teaching. And Jesus uses the parables. He's got a whole set, maybe seven in Matthew's gospel, if I have that right, different parables that reveal different dimensions of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And then backing up, we remember Jesus saying, you know, when he began his ministry after being baptized by John, he began to preach, and he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. He came to preach the kingdom, to establish the kingdom. He, of course, is the king of the kingdom, which means he's bringing the life of God, the rule of God, the dominion of the Lord to the earth and to a place that was created by God to be engaged in the kingdom. But the rebellion, we know the fall of the enemy. We know the reality of original sin. We know the sin of Adam and Eve and all that, and the rebellion in the earth among creatures. And Jesus came to break the power of the dominion of the devil, of the rule of the kingdom of darkness. You know, the devil is described as the lord of this world. Jesus came to break those powers that the devil's exercising over human hearts. And Jesus came to claim, you know, to make a pathway, to rescue, to bring down the principalities and powers of the kingdom of darkness, and to make it possible for human beings who bear the image of the Father. You know, so here's Jesus' passion, to rescue those who bear the image of the Father. And he comes as a king, comes as a servant king, and he's going to offer his life. He's going to just astound everybody. He's going to surprise ultimately everybody and shock the world. You hear that phrase? He came as a servant, and he came in love to lay down his life, and humility and love and obedience to God the Father broke the back of the kingdom of darkness, Satan and his kingdom and his dominion, and made it possible through the shedding of his own blood, to make it possible for human beings to be cleansed of their sin and all that separates them from God. And then he gives us the possibility of being united to him by becoming a new creation, receiving his offer of new life. And so the kingdom is revealed in the king. He brought the kingdom to us, and the church is that body of people on the earth established by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the Lord himself, by God's command. And it's the church which is the beginning of the growing of the kingdom on the earth. It's the place through which people connect with the kingdom of God. And that happens through baptism and entering the body of Christ and being united to Jesus and living a new life in the Holy Spirit. And so this is what Jesus is talking about when he's sharing about the dimensions in the parables of the kingdom. He wants us to see and understand the mysteries, how God is establishing his kingdom, how people enter the kingdom, how people are ultimately cut off from the kingdom. So there's just a tremendous amount there. So I'm going to continue to pick those up this week, but begin today with a reading from yesterday, which really is connected to all this. The reading at Mass, the second reading from St. Paul was taken from Colossians chapter 2, talking essentially about baptism, because of course, part of the discussion here in Colossians is about the question of circumcision and do Gentile believers, you know, was an issue in the early church. Do Gentile believers need to be circumcised? Do they need to keep the ritual laws of the Jewish people? And so in this particular section, there's a discussion around what is the true circumcision. And the true circumcision is baptism into Christ, is getting a new heart, having our heart circumcised, not just the physical body circumcised to enter, be a sign of the covenant people, but to actually be brought into full covenant with God in baptism by being united to him and having God's love poured into our hearts. And so we'll take a look at that because very much related to what's at the heart of the kingdom and what's being offered. Remember, the church, despite what some people might think, it's not just Pope Francis says, it's not another NGO. It's not an elevated social service organization. It's not just a philosophy, a new philosophy and a way to live. It's not even about moral striving. It's not fundamentally a morality play or whatever you want to say. It is about new life, new creation, salvation being expressed in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, being brought about by his coming and being offered to human beings to literally to be brought from darkness to light, from slavery to freedom, from demonic oppression to the freedom of the kingdom, and the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. So that's what Jesus came to do. So Paul's touching on the central truth of how the early church, the apostles and others understood, and taking from passages in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 30, Jeremiah 31, Ezekiel 36, in which prophetic words or anticipations are being given. The Old Testament is a physical sign pointing to something deeper. It's a type, you might say, of what is to come, and what is to come is the circumcision of the heart. So here's Paul in the context of this beautiful chapter 2 exhortation and proclamation. We touched on some of this earlier passages last week, but beginning in verse 12, or let's start verse 11, said, "In him," that is in Christ, "also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision of Christ." So here's Paul's reference. The circumcision of Christ is the circumcision of the heart. He said, "You were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, having canceled the bond which stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the principalities and powers and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in him." There's a lot there. There's a lot of just wonder. It's amazement of what God's done for us, brothers and sisters. But the point Paul is making here is that even the Gentiles have been brought in and they've experienced the circumcision of the heart, which is the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul is making a reference here to a passage from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. And it reads like this, said, "And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offering so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and that you may live. And the Lord your God will put all these curses upon your foes and enemies who persecuted you, and you shall again obey the voice of the Lord and keep all his commandments, which I command on you this day." So the anticipation, what's God going to do ultimately, leading us to, here's the expression of the first commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Here's the heart of what's at the center of the kingdom. You see in Jesus the perfect expression of the fulfillment of the first and the great commandment, to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And for that to happen, something had to be done to the sin-sick human heart. It needed to be circumcised, consecrated. It needed to be united to the heart of Jesus Christ, who became one of us and gave to God what belongs to God and loved the Father precisely in this way, with all his heart, all his soul, all his mind, and all his strength. And so what we needed was a working of God in mercy and grace, a power greater than any of us could ever have to deal with the problem of the sin sickness of each human heart. And this is exactly why Jesus came. So he conquered the enemy's hold on us. He broke his hold on us. He walked in the way we were called and made to walk. That is in conversation with the Father and having his loves perfectly, rightly ordered, loving God, loving neighbor, but loving God first above all things. And I've said it many times in the program, Jesus, in talking about the first commandment, called it the first and the greatest thing. It's of first importance, and it is absolutely the greatest thing that could ever happen to a human being and a human being could ever do. To be from the core of our being, from our heart, to be radically in love with God and walking in a life of obedience and extravagant devotion to God in the way Jesus did. Jeremiah 31:33. the prophet described this. So he said, but this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days. So he's talking about what's coming, not what they're living in the moment. It's a prophecy. And he says, the Lord, thus says the Lord, I will put my law within them and I will write it upon their hearts and I will be their God and they shall be my people. I will put my law within their hearts, right? Not just on a stone, you know, two tablets of stone, but in the human heart. And what is that? It's the gift of the Holy Spirit given to us in baptism, God's love poured into our hearts, as St. Paul put it. And so the love of God was in the heart of Jesus Christ, the anointing of the Spirit that was in and upon Jesus, he shares with us. And at the core of that anointing is the power and the capacity, the drive, the energy, the grace to put first things first and to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and expressed in obedience. Right? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Commandments are, God's commandments are just not external rules, sort of arbitrary. Those commandments help us understand what love looks like and how to be rightly related to God in love. And they're all for our good. You know, they're not just sources of oppression. It's not like an insecure God in heaven that needs to control us and we need to break free into our godless, or our godlike qualities can emerge, right? We can be like gods, all that nonsense that comes from the devil. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, 27. A new heart I will give you, a new spirit I will put within you, and I will take out of your flesh the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to observe my ordinances. Here's the prophetic promise of the Lord, new heart. He's giving us a new heart. To become a believer in Jesus is to literally, in baptism, to get a heart transplant. We have a new power and a new capacity to live a new way of life. And it's a life that's God's gift to us, but it's a life we must cooperate with through the exercise of faith, and to say, to abandon ourselves in trust to God and this working in us. So it's of critical importance for us to be able to, as people baptized into Christ, to know what's happened to us and to cooperate with what God is doing. The Lord has given you in your baptism. He's given you this new heart. He's put his Spirit in you. And now the whole point of your life is to yield to the grace of the Holy Spirit, which is the new law, actually, right? It's the Holy Spirit's presence, the perfection of the commandments. It's the new law put into our hearts. And to live now by the law is to live radically by the lead, the power, direction, the wisdom, teaching of the Holy Spirit within us. And of course, the Holy Spirit helps us live out what's actually spoken about in the commandments. So you now are a temple of the Holy Spirit. So live each day in conversation, knowing this is what God the Father is producing in you through his Son Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit, to have this kind of heart. So talk to God. Talk to God from your heart. Ask the Holy Spirit to align you more and more with Jesus' leadership and the Father's purpose and plan. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's new booklet, Join the Resistance. In this booklet, Ralph gives us a tremendous vision how we can join St. Peter and the apostles who said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. To get this free booklet, you can call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.